What is up, bitches? It is Tuesday night, and it is time for another episode of Inside the Game. As you'll quickly notice, this is going to be an intense one-on-one episode of Inside the Game. Pain User is actually incredibly sick, and Idra is traveling to Sweden. And with perfect timing, it is, because just the other day, In Control writes and posts a blog that we are actually going to get a lot of opportunity to sit down and talk about today. In Control, what is up? Welcome back from a long weekend that was MLG Providence. What is up?
Not much, man. I'm glad to be here. Always like doing Inside the Game. It's a pleasure. It's, you know, it sucks to say this, but I'm kind of happy we have a smaller cast tonight. We get some more time talking about this the Meteor subjects. And of course, we miss Idra and Pain User, but this is kind of a nice little surprise that I won't mind too much.
I know. I agree with you. It's bittersweet. And with that, you know, we'll just we'll take it wherever the show goes. But as you mentioned, it gives us an opportunity to really talk one-on-one about it. And, you know, maybe at the end we can open up the phone lines and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to jump right into things, man. This is episode 22, November 22nd, 2011. I just got back yesterday. I feel like I slept for many hours, and it was very good. So I hope everyone else is
still asleep, actually.
I can't take it. We just decided to do the old end of a esports event sleep schedule, which is to not sleep until we had to leave for the airport at 4 a.m. to get on a 6:15 flight.
Oh, damn.
And it was good. But thank you to everyone at MLG. I had a wonderful time. It really was a phenomenal event for the national championships. And before we do get into the blog, I think it's only appropriate that we spend some time talking a little bit about MLG, because it pretty much consumed all of our lives for about the previous 3 days before that. Hello, Kitty. And get out of the way so I can select the right. There we go. So MLG Providence in control. You know, I don't know that I necessarily plan to go completely in depth with everything. You know, as many other programs out there are doing. Also, I mean, honestly, I want to give a big shout out to teamliquid.net/MLG because that shit is on point. That's what we use as the broadcasters the entire time. It is really easy on the eyes, easy to see and understand. You know, if only you could do unbelievable things like integrate it with the actual replays or VOD, it would be amazing. But anyway, that's just my goal, you know, what I aspire to see in the future. Yeah, I mean, I want to give it first and foremost a big thanks to just MLG for the year. Everything was great about this event from my point of view. I know that it changes from spectator to player even, but spectators seem to really enjoy it. The bar crafts looked fucking amazing. And, you know, what was your perspective?
Well, let's do this too. Let me ask you some questions as a caster. Like, not a lot of people get an opportunity to ask one of the guys. I mean, you're one of the MLG guys. You were there, I think, every single MLG. Is that correct?
Except for Raleigh.
Raleigh, okay, that's right. You had PAX East. Okay,
that's correct.
So, I mean, a large part of what comes out, because not a lot of people ask the casters directly, like, "What's your experience?" What comes out is Artosis and Tasteless talking about how much work it is. Day 9 talking about, you know, how he doesn't really get a chance to go out and say hi to people. So, for you, Mr. Wheat, I know that you had your lovely wife, and I don't believe was Mini Wheat there.
Mini Wheat was not there.
He's not there this time. Okay, so I mean, what's your experience like? In review, obviously Providence is the most recent one, but likes, dislikes, regrets, wants,
you know, I mean,
you've done the whole thing.
On the up and up, this was actually the event that I spent less time out on the floor with you know, getting to sort of interact and hang out with fans. And partially that was due just to some, you know, some delays that took place throughout the tournament. And as a result of it, it was kind of like almost broadcast delays in a way.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, really it was by no fault of the broadcast, but it was sort of like this match may have gone too long. And so that means the next match was going to be, you know, was going to be starting a little bit later. So as a result, I was on standby, You know, so normally when I knew that I had the time off, I would spend that time, you know, out on the floor, talking, you know, sometimes even watching the games. But because of that, I was sort of on call, right? Didn't necessarily mean that I had a leash in control, but it meant that, like, for me, that's my fucking job, is to be there for them when they need me to hop on air, when if someone needs a break, or if it's my turn to hop in on the block. So, you know, that's what I'm there to do. The fact that while I'm doing my job, I got to go out and also interact with fans, that was just a bonus. I think that because there was so much going on, and actually, you know, the schedule it took on, I didn't get an opportunity to do that. So that was kind of a bummer, but it by no means was made up, or by no means affected, you know, the event as a whole, because honestly, of all the MLGs this year, I'm pretty sure the ratio of just unbelievable shit compared to, like, there was a StarCraft game was the highest that it's ever been. Which I think says a lot about the event.
Yeah, I mean, for me, MLGs have been a constant growth, and they're moving in the right direction. It's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I like to make fun of them about this, and I think I'll always kind of keep that spirit about it, but really, it just comes out of respect. I mean, look where we started. I remember the one fucking bench sitting under a draped white screen for StarCraft. And it's no hate to MLG. Like, how could you project that it would start off, you know, big as it did?
It was freaking bad, dude.
It was bad. It was bad. But you know what? They've delivered. They talked about, I mean, it happened early this season. They said, we're going to the middle stage. I think Anaheim was the first place where it was middle stage. And I was expecting, like, controversy. Maybe Halo would, their fans would be really upset. There'd be entanglements, that kind of thing. Or MLG would be reluctant to make the change. It wasn't. It was seamless. A lot of the Halo fans had a lot of respect. They're like, I mean, there's definitely some.
There was an initial, like, I'm scared. Like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, actually, these guys are cool, and so is the game, which was really awesome.
They were pretty, I actually have respect to the Halo community. I mean, shout out to them, to that community, because they've had their time. They still do. I mean, there's still a lot of, hopefully there's a lot of promise in the future of Halo. But when StarCraft II took over the middle stage, instead of being like, that's stupid game and they're terrible, they're more like, they're like, touche StarCraft. Like, okay,
absolutely.
I understand. You guys, I mean, it's pretty self-evident. But kudos to them to be awesome about it. Like, they could have sat on the ground and kicked their legs and cried themselves. But instead, they're just like, we're going to keep doing our thing. It's pretty awesome. You guys are having such a boom over there. So shout out to them. But, I mean, shout out to MLG, too, for having the business sense, but also the balls to make that change. Because let's not forget, people, MLG started off Halo. That was, they, I mean, like, if Sir Scoots and DJ Wheat are Counter-Strike and Quake, respectively, if that's their background, that's where they came from, MLG's Halo. That is their soul. That is where they came from. And for them to recognize, okay, StarCraft II seems to be the game right now. We need to make that change. And then to do it and to still hold homage and respect to the other games, most notably Halo, is pretty cool. And that's kind of part of the reason why I'll always have the easiest of times promoting MLG to people. Like, it's such a safe organization for me to say, hey, go check them out, because they're going to deliver a great product. And I think Providence is the encapsulating element of that. But really, all year long, Anaheim was one of the most exciting ones. Orlando. Raleigh had this terrible tornado, horrible situation going on. But MLG kind of kept their head about it. And just mad props to them.
Did you say tornado?
It was a hurricane.
Yeah, there might have been.
Same thing from Seattle. God was trying to kill thousands
Dorothy.
Of people. So.
Yeah, either way. And I mean, you know, to have an event that truly that eclipsed all of them, and I really hope it did. It sounded like even the early numbers from the streams were higher. I expected them to be, especially with Lenox's amazing, amazing run. As he brings the new appearances, first appearances wins to MLG. And, you know, like, another thing too, Jeff, is that on Live on 3, about, I don't know, I'd say about three episodes ago, I criticized the fighting game community for not telling stories properly, for not building the story of a series or a match or a game or a player's run, etc. And so going into this event, one of my goals for myself as a broadcaster was to create or to highlight, if you will, as many stories as could possibly, you know, be done. And I found that this event was just fucking overflowing with them. And my job became incredibly easy. Like, there was so much stuff for one person to follow. And, you know, a lot of times people go, God, I can't believe you guys can just fill in the gaps so easy between, you know, games and this and that. You know how you do that? You do it through fucking storylines, right? You tell the amazing story about Lenok and what his road. You talk about guys like Sickness who made a big impression on the, or the guys like Forbes for 4BS. I'm still unsure how you pronounce his name, but the quotes that they gave and the things they said. And I want to give also props to the MLG editorial team, including Chobo Peon, who was out on the floor, and I must have read six articles from him, not long, but just like little, like, this is happening right now. And one of the most notable to me is when he interviewed Forbes, and Forbes was like a level 35, 19-year-old kid. He's a grandmaster, and he was like, yo, you know, he beat Drewby, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And in his interview, he said, you know, I beat Drewby online before. I came here to get recognition by beating a Korean. Unfortunately, he went on to lose to a Korean, but you know what? Like, to me, I was like, suddenly I'm watching this guy for the rest of the competition.
Yep.
And I hope that people saw the storytelling that was taking place, you know, this weekend, because I feel like we as commentators have to set that example. And so, you know, thank you to the players that made that possible, to like Chobo Peon for helping find those types of storylines to tell. I thought that for me, even, I was the most excited that I've been for an event as a caster in a long time. And that was because what was happening was just so amazing.
Yeah. And, I mean, you in particular did a phenomenal job of that. I actually can recall multiple occasions where you used the word story, which I think is actually a really important lightning rod kind of phrase to be used at a tournament like that, because there are stories developing. One of the weird things that have kind of become the norm in our community is that if you're not winning a tournament or placing like top two or three, nobody really cares about you. And that is such an unrealistic expectation for these tournaments. There's so many amazing achievements to run through, a few of them. Hey Pro taking out NST, beating Select, beating Kiwi Khaki. He's a guy who a lot of people are like, when is team going to cut him out? You know, when are they going to get rid of him? And here he is having a monster tournament, taking sixth place in the national championship, winning a huge cash prize for himself. Vile Illusion, a 15-year-old guy from a team that nobody really talks about, doing an amazing job getting to that championship bracket. And I don't think a lot of people know he's 15 years old. He's one of the youngest kids in that tournament, and he makes it that far. Lenok, 16, obviously everybody knows about that. Shu, he's not drafted, sure, but he's unsigned. He's not a signed player. I mean, he's actually kind of one of the secrets of the EG house. He's been training with Machine on a regular basis, beats him quite frequently, does very well for himself. Of course, they're just practice games. So I don't want to make too much of that. But the point is that he's one of those players who people don't know about, knocked people out right and left, did really well for himself, and the list goes on. So I hear you doing a good job. I want to give a nod to that, and I hate to – I mean, our show's so small that I can't drag this on as long as I want, but props to you. But what I would want is more of that. I want the other casters to be interested in that. And I want – and this is, again, this wouldn't be an in-control, like, rant without me saying we need to go above and beyond. But next year, 2012, one of those leagues needs to do what I want to see, and that is – send a film crew out ahead to some of these guys' houses, get an in-depth story, sit down with that guy in his living room, in his training room, whatever, talk to his parents, you know, see the story behind the story, so that in between games, it's not, you know, the cast doing the best they can to talk about what they know while they're trying to juggle everything and they have a voice in their ear, but rather it's this professional video done, cut, and prepared to talk about that player. You know, I mean, they're trying to do it. They've got Slasher on the floor, like you said. They had Clutch 8 out there interviewing. Absolutely. And that was all good and fine, but I want more. And I'm always going
to
be that
voice. In all fairness, and this kind of ties in, you know, to your blog as well, and so we'll probably even be returning to this. But, you know, I do feel like we'll get there. You know, I mean, you mentioned the one bench. one bench to hundreds of chairs. Like, there you go. To thousands of people, guys sitting up, guys on the floor. Like, that is growth. It's like, it can only go up from here. So I hope that, and they did do a good job. They at least had some select cuts of some different games that have taken place, sort of like little player highlights, you know, and that was, you know, that was at least changing the pace a little bit and adding a little something else to it. But you're right. That is the next step. That's the next evolution. You know, I personally would love to see some sort of a midday, yo, this is what the fuck is going on show, because there seriously is so much, and you have two streams, and you know, you're trying to follow both. It's really tough to do if you just, like, you know, settled down for 30 minutes, even gave everything a break, whatever games are playing, they
take
finish
over
up
all four streams,
and just like, here's what's going down right now. Boom, boom. And and then you can emphasize the storylines a little bit more. And we're kind of going into your blog already, so let's take it back a little bit, because this isn't necessarily like MLG fucked up because they did it. It's not like that at all. This is it was like they did such a great job that we can say this is what we do the next time. And I guarantee you that MLG feels the exact same way.
And thank you for reading me in. That is always my danger. I don't want to sound ungrateful, because I honestly, like, what MLG has done for StarCraft II will have my infinite respect for years to come, because this was the starting year for StarCraft II. If a league like MLG launches and then fucks up for, like, a solid 8 months in a row, StarCraft II, it'll still do well, I'm sure, but it'd be leagues behind where it is now. MLG raising the bar of professionalism each time and pushing the competition, that's something we've talked about, too. Like, IPL has to kick ass. Otherwise, MLG is just obviously the first choice, and there's no
question. You're right.
So it's awesome.
And these things, you know, and we always say competition makes one another better. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to adapt that and do this a little better. Hey, we're going to adapt what they did a little bit better and make this a little bit better. And that, dude, that is even back to the early days, Jeff, of when we were broadcasting and shoutcasting. It was like we were just constantly one-upping one another with production. Then suddenly, like, you know, we did a shitload of Quake, so we added these cool Quake timers. And then people were like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's add Counter-Strike. You know, audio timers to the shit you're doing, and it's the same thing now, right? And we will get to that point. So we're going to probably come back to that a little bit. Let's do just finish off MLG. Leenok with an amazing run. Naniwa was impressive. I would like to touch briefly on the booing, because there has been some back and forth, and I'd love to talk about it from, like, my perspective on what I heard, because I think also there was even some statements from MLG, if I'm not mistaken, where they said, you know, I don't know that it was necessarily what people thought it was, and it was more of a coincidence. And I don't know. I mean, like, we were in the venue. The first time I heard booing, I was actually quite, like, I was taken back a little bit. So the explanation for some of the booing was that Huck had put, like, a Naniwa wallpaper on his computer, and they were, like, taking that down from the first person stream, apparently.
So they're booing that they were taking it down or something.
Yes. I don't know, what was your take on it?
I mean, that might have been the most verbose booing that you heard, so it wasn't directly at Naniwa, but there certainly was some booing due to his behavior on stage. And, I mean, here's the gist of it as far as I'm concerned. Like, a lot of people's points in favor of booing would be that it's their opinion. StarCraft II has risen to the level where these players can handle to be booed. It's just another form of excitement that people are expressing. And then they're very quick to go to the sports analogy where, you know, at a football game, at a baseball game, at a basketball game, there is booing, and that's, you know, that's what just happens. I think what people, like, that's all fine and good as far as I'm concerned to a certain extent, but what I think people should weigh that against is this is not sports in that stage yet. Like, the players are going to rub shoulders with you when they walk off the stage. So it's a little bit weirder that way. But also, in a sports stadium, if I go to Seattle and I'm a Yankees baseball player, I expect to get booed because I'm in the enemy territory. That's a part of the competition. But if I'm at MLG, everyone's there to see everyone for the most part. So if people are singling me out and booing at me, it tends to be more harmful than the actual message. Like, a lot of people will say, no, that's just me being a sports fan. but they don't know what they're doing to that player. Like Nanua, for instance, fantastic guy. He's actually a good guy. He's an amazing player. He's one of our best players. But he is so focused on the game itself and such an antisocial guy that he makes stupid choices. Putting up MLG's a joke tournament on screen like that, a dumbass move. By no way, shape, or form would you or me, I would assume, would ever defend that. But I wouldn't want him to get crucified or massacred for that. Like, certainly some booing is going to happen, and I wouldn't, like, single that guy out and be like, stop it, young man, like, get out of here, you know, I wouldn't chase him off, but I'd want the masses to know that the effect they have in the arena they're doing it in isn't necessarily the best, in my opinion.
I would even go one step further and just consider this. Of course, like, I'm never a fan of, like, actually, I was less of a fan of someone like, when there was, like, the booing of League of Legends, right? And, yeah. And I mean, booing of players, right? Consider it this way. If you're going to introduce players and you are going to ask this player how they feel about playing so-and-so or playing so-and-so, and even further, you're going to have a highlight of MC. How are you going to do against the other players in the pool? And MC says, I kill them, or, you know. Yeah. You almost have to expect that you, in doing that, are encouraging that, right? A little bit. I think that there's a little bit of encouragement, whether indirectly or directly. And at the end of the day, I kind of think that everyone's a little okay with that, including myself. You know, if there is a friendly rivalry or there's an ongoing series between, I'm not going to be disappointed necessarily to hear that come out of players, right? So with that regard, you have to imagine that there's going to be fans that will take sides. Right. So we have to ask ourselves, are we okay with having the intros of the players and these questions asked? And I guarantee you that 99% of the people are going to say yes. And then consider that we have to imagine what that means will happen because we are doing that. We are encouraging that as fans a little bit. You know, and I was trying to get Slasher and Nanua, actually, when sort of it had come down, because people were already murmuring, like, oh, we have the next great villain of StarCraft II. It's Nanua. And you look at Idra, who is, like, you love him or you love to hate him. That is Idra, you know? And I feel like that is Nanua, too. And so, like, to lighten everything up, I was trying to get them to convince Nanua to have to have his celebration come out and do something like,
yeah,
like do the evil. Yeah, the Dr. Evil sort of thing. But I mean, I do feel like maybe he got a little bit more punishment than he certainly deserved. I have so much fucking respect for Nanua as a player, and I told this storyline throughout the competition, is that I saw his tweets. And you have to be able to relate to this, Jeff, because I've seen you make similar tweets. Like, you know what? This is my mental wake the fuck up right now. You know, like, make a declaration that I am going to do what I can and the bet. And he made one of these declarations 100% towards the game. And I really feel like for him, he achieved that. Would he have really achieved it if he won? Absolutely. But I think in what he did, he achieved that. And for that, I'm incredibly proud of Nanua. I'm not going to necessarily get upset at the booing, because, again, I think that we have created that sort of environment for that to happen for ourselves. So I feel like we only have ourselves to blame for that. But I'm going to say personally, like, fucking hats off, Nanua. You did fucking amazing, brother. And I'm really
proud of you. He took out Nesty and MC. Nesty and MVP. I mean, what the fuck, man? Yeah. And then what happened, too, is despite all that drama, have your opinions what you will, Nesty was fired up. He went into that next match against Nanua and was like, I'm going to murder this guy. I'm going to unleash my full might. And then he lost again. Like, Nanua did shit there. He took care of business like there's no tomorrow. Like, that's why the finals were kind of a shame, because it was just Leenok basically like, okay, if you're going to fast expand, I'm going to do this build, and it's going to work 4 out of 5 times or whatever it was. So it was kind of a deceiving finals, because I felt like Nanua was playing some of the best StarCraft 2 I've seen in a long time. against some of the best players. He got inside the head of Nesty.
Big time.
You know, despite Artosis glorifying like the greatest player there ever was, he actually is one of the best players on the frickin' planet. And Naniwa worked him over, man. He made him look like he didn't know how to beat Naniwa. And that's so, that's such a cool thing for me. I mean, that's just such an accomplishment.
Yeah, and there's so many cool aspects about what did happen, like you said, some of the things that Naniwa did, and again, I like already seeing some chat, like, there's been some talks about, well, he just kind of did one specific thing, you know, kind of like what Leenok did in the finals to actually win, but to that extent, you know, this is a competitive game, and this is a play-to-win situation, and if you find something that you and your skill set can be incredibly dominant with, then absolutely. And lootly, you should be using that to win games and to win competitions. So,
well, let's put it this way too. I read all the comments. Despite trying to step further away from reading all the forum, I still do actually.
Sure,
but
sure.
A lot of the comments were calling anyone like too basey well and all this shit.
Right, right.
But I'll tell you what: at all times, I was surrounded by some of the best non-Koreans in the entire world, or I was sitting with Juani and Puma and some of the best Koreans in the world. We were all talking about the matches. And there's just no escaping me sounding like an elitist, I guess, but you'll just have to take my word for it. If you evaluate those games, and a cool idea would be someone like Liquid Tyler or somebody about, you know, sitting down and doing a voiceover of those VODs, someone through MLG, I don't know. But his play is extremely reactionary. Very few of his builds were actually, well, I don't want to say very few, but not all of his builds, like people are giving him too much credit for, were just timings. They were actually reactionary timings. So if a guy took a high yield expansion as their second base, or if a Zerg was slow to take, like there were some weird builds coming out of the Zergs too, like Muta transitions with his Warp Prism
right.
Against. I want to say it was on Shakir's Plateau. I can't remember which Zerg it was, either Leenok or Nesty. But he scouts the Spire. You got to hit that timing. You got to go right there. If the Mutas get out of that base and keep you pinned, two base Protoss versus three base Zerg, which then becomes five base Zerg, you're dead. So he hit the exact time that he needed to, and yes, it was off of two bases, because that's the read you're supposed to make. And a lot of people are working way too hard to make Naniwa sound like he went into this tournament with some cheese and ended up doing really well, when he didn't. He went into this tournament playing, making reads that were extremely astute and strong, and it just kind of sucks to hear people not give him credit for that. So it's hard to say this, because what do? Like, tell the community to just give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if that's the answer, but hopefully someone can alert the masses.
Like I said, it's up for discussion, and if we get the opportunity to open up the phone lines a little later, I don't know if we will. But
please do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like maybe that's something we'll talk about. So, you know, overall, you guys have got to stay to the game tonight, right? So I'm sure you're going to be diving a little bit more into MLG. So I would just encourage everyone to tune in, because I'm sure that's one of the things that you guys will be talking about tonight, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure.
Right on. Let's go ahead and let's start talking about a decent proposal that came from In Control here. I've actually got the blog up right here. And you know, I mean, I guess first and foremost, I want to ask you the question of, like, you know, where did this come from? Like, what was it? What was the inspiration? Who was the muse? Or what did you see or hear or experience? Or, you know, what was the inspiration for this?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I hope if we can, let's definitely do open up those phone lines, because I want to start off by saying, if anyone has any questions about it or any challenges to the ideas behind it and stuff like that, I'd really like it if people called in and asked that, because I want to have a dialogue about it. But that being said, the muse, the inspiration was kind of, I mean, it's obviously a lot of things a lot of people have been thinking about for a while. I'm not by any means the creator or inventor of most of those ideas. I'm just the person that's been thinking about it, just like a lot of other people. But I was talking with Kim Rom and a few other guys last night of MLG, and kind of talking over some of these subjects. And, I mean, what's kind of dawned on me is that one of the biggest factors for why StarCraft in general has had a bit of a restrictive surface to it, like it's harder to expand StarCraft 2, is because you have to understand StarCraft to really appreciate and want to look at it, right? If I put up a fighting game on the screen, or if I play some Call of Duty, people can recognize a guy getting shot, a grenade going off, a car blowing up, or an amazing, colorful combo. They can look at that and appreciate it. Or same with Madden, you know, a football game. They know exactly what that is because of predetermined information that they have through other walks of life. Now, in StarCraft, yes, it's a battle, so certainly everyone knows, you know, to some extent what a battle looks like, but the nuances of what goes into it, the players behind the game, the difference between the engagements and how they function within the game, that's all pretty high-level stuff that people don't necessarily understand. So part of my catalyst, part of the idea I had behind this was, if people just start talking about StarCraft, if they just go out and say, you know what, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to tell five people about StarCraft. If one out of those five people are like, that's kind of cool, could I hear more about it, or can you show me a stream?
Sure.
Then that's how that game starts to get into the boundaries of the masses, where people are starting to understand and they're pursuing information. So, I mean, that's if there is a foundation to it, that's it. The next stuff is just little things I've been thinking about. The journalism, the agency, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. The community as a whole talking, I mean, because that's one of the subjects that easily gets thrown out. Every time I'm like, the community's too harsh, it sounds like I'm bitching on my own behalf. But actually, I'm trying to get a message out there that perhaps we should self-evaluate the way we conduct ourselves a little bit more. And then just the idea behind where StarCraft II can go. I know a lot of people, yourself included to a certain extent, think that the TV is not the right media. I don't necessarily disagree, but I want to challenge that notion. Like, why be the voice of conservatism when we could start talking about putting it further out there, obviously intelligently, but trying to get it out to more people? And that's what kind of started the whole thing.
I mean, is this something that you actually had written in one setting, or is this something that you were working on for a while?
To be honest, I mean, I wrote the whole thing in my head, as weird as that is to say.
Okay, no,
on the entire 6-hour flight back from MLG. Like, I started thinking about it 2 days ago, and I've been working through it, and then I just sat down, and I spent about 3 hours last night writing the whole thing. And actually, a fun stat, too, is in the time it took me to write that, my dog pooped in the house twice and peed 5 times. I think that's because he was locked in his kennel. Wow, he's actually setting standards for himself.
What we'll do for esports, ladies
Jesus,
and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not even sure that it's necessarily appropriate, Jeff, to go through every single thing. You know, what I would encourage everyone to do is to at least consider all the things that, you know, that In Control talks about. I think that, you know, a lot of these things we are kind of like, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is something, you know, for example, seeing more people at events. Like, absolutely. This would be fucking amazing. You know, the ESPN coverage of games, which me as a commentator has always said, you know, we have the toughest jobs because an MLB commentator is basically got a fuckload of stats in front of his face. You know, I've said for ages that if we had some sort of centralized database in which I could pull an overall statistic of tournament games that shows the, you know, PVZ win percentage for Naniwa, that it would do so much to our craft that it would be amazing.
And someone can do that. Someone out there can do that.
Absolutely. You know, would it be a lot of hard work? Yes. And that's honestly why esports and professional gaming is around, because a bunch of people have been willing to put forth all the hard work. And I think really that's, you know, where I would go down to and put a little bit more focus on, and that is the, you know, what can I do to help? Because I feel like we hear this question all the time. Going a little bit further with your ESPN like coverage, you know, I think that one of the problems is that because we're a bit proactive as a community, if we would have had this during Quake or Counter-Strike, which we sort of did because Gotfrag did have some pretty amazing statistics for Counter-Strike that went that deep. But, you know, and I know that, like, the TLPD and stuff, we have a lot of that stuff. Mm. Can it be integrated in? You know, can we begin to use this with our productions, et cetera, and, you know, take that one step further? Because that is a great resource. I didn't want to make it sound like we have nothing. Like, we don't even have, I can't even tell the last 7 games. And so, you know, we do have resources.
Yeah.
I think we need, like, and we need this for everything, beyond StarCraft II even. So I don't know if it's a ESPN for all sorts of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, basically that section, what I'm talking about is just moving beyond where we're imagining. Like, a lot of times when people imagine the stuff we're talking about right now, their most knee-jerk response is to think of ways and reasons why that can't work and why it shouldn't work and why it's not appropriate. And I feel like I don't want to psychoanalyze the entire fucking 6 million people or whatever that are playing StarCraft 2, because that will not go anywhere. But what I do want to say is just put out a message of, rather than imagine, I mean, and I'm one of the biggest proponents of this. You can quote me on 1,000 different shows or whatever saying, I don't know, like, here's why I think it might, I don't know. And on the other hand, this is why it's like kind of a muddled point, I'm not saying let's like just jump off the building willfully and be like, oh, StarCraft 2 will catch me, I'll be fine, you know, everything's possible. Not necessarily. I mean, we're all intelligent people. I've run into people all across the board that have money or they have connections to masses of people. Whatever your talent is, whatever your ability is, just start looking for ways to plug that into StarCraft 2 and push the boundaries. My ideas were ESPN-like coverage or stadiums filled with people. Maybe your idea, like you said, is really fucking good statistics at all of our casts. I mean,
right.
It's like mind-blowing when Artos is like, actually, I've got here in front of me the win percentage for this map. It's 46%.
Yeah.
You know, like, who knows? Let's go ahead and say, Nanny was 87% of this map.
Right. Exactly. That's just it. That is like, people always, you hear me fucking preach about the storytelling all the time, right? Isn't it a story in itself if Naniwa does have a 68 win percentage? Be like, so Leenok would actually be beating the odds to win this matchup. Right. You know, you create suddenly an additional air of suspense and mystery behind what you are watching. Like, watch anything on television that is sports related in a way, and whether you realize it or not, that is what it's all about. You know, it's like a football. You hear it all the time, like, they haven't beat this team in 27 years, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, because if they beat this fucking team, it'll be amazing, and you'll be so stoked that you were watching it, and you were there, and you experienced it. And that just is a part of the storytelling. And you go on in the blog to also talk about what we mentioned early and what we chatted about the personal story on White Raw and, you know, what that could mean for all of us. Because, you know, I like to tell the story, and if you're a longtime listener live on there, you've probably heard it. But I'm going to tell it again. When I was working for CGS, I would send my mom the DVDs of the episodes, right? And one thing that CGS did really good is that they brought all the gamers out to like a place to live for a month. So they were making those backstory pieces. They were like creating a connection between those who were watching and the players themselves. And then they put them into the competition, right? So I would send every week, it was like writing home to mom, I would like send her a new DVD of the week's episodes. And, you know, I mean, it's just because my mom, like, is sort of a collector of the shit, but I never once really even, expected her to watch them, right?
Right.
And about, like, week 8 of our ongoing season, we did, like, an event overseas. So I was late on sending her the DVDs. And she messaged me. She, like, emailed me. And she said, hey, I haven't seen this week's CGS episodes. I want to find out if Kat Gunn beats Vanessa. And I'm like, you know,
that's
what?
Awesome.
This is the coolest fucking thing ever. You know, like, my mom took an interest. She's like, she hated everything else, but she's like, I watched the fighting. She's like, I watched the fighting one. And because she like was vested, you know, in Kat Gunn, like, for whatever it was about Kat, and you know Kat, all right? So, I mean, it was like she attached to that. Like, that's how we bring in the people, the super casual, et cetera. And that's not just for StarCraft. You know, I think back to Quake 3 and all the amazing stories there, and like the story about CZM, and he is Paul Nelson.
Yep.
He is a Quake player that... He's like the Rain Man Quake player. Like, the dude has been known to time 8 items in his head at once. And it was like awesome, because you could sit there with him while he was watching like the games, and you'd be like, Paul, yellow armor. He'd be like 12 seconds. He would tell you when it was going to spawn next because he was able to process that much information, you know? And, yep. And he had this huge math background. It was so fucking interesting, like talking to him every time. That's what we don't get to get. And that will, I guarantee, and I agree with you 150%. That is one of the reasons or one of the ways that we will break through those barriers is creating the personal stories. You even look at things like the spelling bees and poker that are on ESPN. What do? They create huge stories behind them. Even Elkie, when he was really – I remember Elkie's story was so fucking awesome.
Yep.
On the World Series of Poker on ESPN because they talked about his StarCraft background. I was like – you know, of course, I was biased in that regard, but that was the point of it all. And we got to do that. I agree with you. I think it's one of the strongest things that comes out of this
podcast. Well, I mean, think about the WCG 2005 video with Tasteless, Artosis, and Day 9 in there. I mean, for me, like one of the most mind-boggling emotional videos I've ever seen is looking at the passion and the drive on Artosis' face when he's talking about StarCraft II. And then, like, I'm going to get teared up just talking about it. And then seeing the devastation on his face when he just got fucking knocked out. Like, you show that video in between, and again, this isn't going to happen because Artosis isn't playing, but Artosis versus Day 9, 2012.
Right.
I guarantee you, moms, dads, people have no connection to StarCraft II at all. They see that. They go, well, I got to watch this match. That's because they identify with the human being behind the game itself. And that's something that's been proven on, you know, every level for other sports coverage. We just don't do it in StarCraft 2 because it does take resources. Obviously, that's one of the alienating factors. But I feel like we've reached a level in our community where, and not even just the community, but the industry, right? The actual infrastructure surrounding the community, where it is possible to sustain that. But rather than run and, you know, put that money towards something else, get that crew with that guy,
yeah,
pull him aside, videotape that shit because it's actually going to pull in new people.
I cannot agree more. And you know what I would really like to do is I would like to over the course of the next like 5 to 8 minutes try to sort of bold a lot of the points in here and then open up the phone lines and kind of continue this with I think what people have to say. A lot of people made some great points about it's too bad that we personally don't have a resource. Because one of the things that I really like about what you said is that, you know what, there is ways to, like, use your skills to get involved in esports. And I see it all the time, Jeff. I'm like, how the fuck do I get involved? And you know what? Like, it's hard for me to answer that because how I just got involved is that I just fucking did it. I just, like, got myself a microphone right here. I figured out how to shoutcast to the internet, and I started going blah, 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 blah. That was what I did. So it's hard for me to just go, well, why don't you just do it, right? And so as I was thinking more about what this guy said about it's too bad there's not like a depository for this kind of thing, I thought there's someone out there that can code. There's someone there out there with the aspiration to coordinate all this. And like this kind of thing could happen just because I think people are listening right now. You know, so with that being said, you mentioned kind of some major points that, you know, first off, nobody is without the power to help build this dream. And I think like that's the greatest thing that you can say because I started with nothing. I started with the freaking microphone and the mixer I used when I DJed. Like that was my fucking shoutcast setup when I first started. And, you know, today, obviously, it's much different. We have streaming everywhere. It's fucking amazing. So, yeah, I believe that 100%. You talk about social media. I love this. I like your consume and communicate. I also like the ability to realize that the community has this enormous amount of power.
Yes.
Because we are already an active community in that I've seen Twitter's blow up with people saying, you know, like, thanks so-and-so for providing this, or thank you, sponsor, for doing this. But I think, again, we could make these coordinated efforts to improve that even more. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because, I mean, just to touch on that point, there was a common thread of dissension on those points, so I guess I'll recognize it now, but they're saying, well, if you prop up products too much when you're not actually consuming them, it's going to create this, like, false market. But I feel like there needs to be an education on that for a lot of people because that's not how it works. You don't actually have to buy Intel or by Kingston in order to support them. If you're tweeting them or emailing them or messaging them in any way, shape, or form, that's actually all they want, because you're putting foot traffic and notoriety to their product and you're garnering them attention, which is just the same as buying their product. If you're also buying their product, now you're just smashing that shit with a warhammer, which is fantastic. Thank you for doing that. But what people need to understand is that we as a community, I'm not asking you to buy stuff. I'm not saying if you're a poor college student, eat ramen for the next 3 weeks because the rest of your money needs to go to a stick of RAM or something like that. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is put your eyes and your voting power in the direction of companies that support this game, and then let those people know the reason you're doing that is because they're supporting this game, and it's going to work. I got an email from Red Bull, and I hope to God Semi-Pro Joe's not listening right now. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you. But Red Bull said, hey, we've got big things planned in 2012, and I want you to know I really appreciate what you said because it's spot on. Red Bull is a billion-dollar company, people. Like, they're looking at StarCraft II, and they recognize that when they give a little bit of love, when they get a little bit of love, they give it right back. And that's how it works. So it hurts me when I see people say, like, you're going to create this false market and collapse esports. That's not how it works. That's why we give shout-outs. I'm not buying a Siberia headset every time I say it, but someone might, or someone will go email them, and that's all I ask.
Some people may say, well, where do I go? You know, and again, maybe this is a part of a bigger package. Maybe there is something beyond the community site that we have not yet foreseen. And I feel like I see it a little bit in your message in this blog. Like, for example, if post a tournament, there was something that said, you know, thank you, MLG, for the competition. Here are contact emails for the sponsors if you would like to reach out to them and thank them, or if they provided something that you are happy with, you know, whatever. I absolutely think that something like that could be very beneficial, because I feel like our community does appreciate, and they do that for that reason. And this, again, it goes beyond StarCraft 2 here. We're kind of walking a fine line.
Yes,
because the fighting game community needs to listen and kind of like consider these same things. The Quake community that's trying to, you know, keep itself alive, where I was just talking with Slasher this weekend, and I was like, you know what, Slasher? Like, I've had this epiphany that I feel like Quake could revive itself. Like, I feel like if a large enough community effort was made, and coverage was given, and you could actually get the fighting game community and the StarCraft community and those who are watching streams, you know, to try out some Quake, that you actually might be able to fucking hit the paddles and, like, you know, jolt that guy back to life.
Yep.
And again, this all comes back to sort of a community effort.
And thank you for pointing that out too, because I want to reiterate that. I actually started off this blog saying, I'm speaking to StarCraft 2 because obviously that's where 99% of my soul is. But it's absolutely true. If you're an FPS guy, if you're a fighting guy, if you're a MMOBA or whatever, MOBA guy, you can do the same thing. Like, it's just gaming in general. If you feel passionate about it, if this is something you want to reach to other people out, everyone is empowered to do that. It's just moving beyond being passive and actually doing something about it. So these are my ideas, but they're all transferable to other genres as well. And I would hope that they would do the same.
And someone said, you know, Quake has struggled to get new viewers. And again, like, let me just paint a picture. We did an event with CSN last week that drew, you know, 3,000 people, sort of a week's really notice. And it was a Quake final with some very, very, very talented North American players. And, you know, to me, there was a lot of people that got exposed to Quake for the first time or were re-exposed to Quake. And I feel like if that was available multiple times throughout the week and these tournaments were still airing, and I wanted to double check because I think there's a Quake tournament at DreamHack, and if there's not, shame, yes. So give that a shot this weekend, guys. Like, you know, try it out. Imagine it's a nice shirt and you're looking at it, you're like, that shirt might look good on me. Just give it a fucking try. Even if it's just watch the finals. And you know what? You might be saying, hey, I'm going to be watching StarCraft 2. So will I. But I'll still have Quake up on another monitor. So please give it a shot. Anyway, this isn't a Quake show. It's a StarCraft 2 show. So let's go back to what we were talking about.
Respect your elders, though, man.
You know, I'm down with that. I mean, I hadn't cast Quake Live, Jeff, in like a fucking year. And maybe even longer. But A, it felt really good because I've been doing a lot of StarCraft, right? Felt really good. It's like a little change of pace.
Yeah.
But B, like, I felt like people really responded to it. And that's what, you know, and I felt like I responded to it. And, like, I got that nostalgic feeling, like, fuck, man. Like, this is how I got started, you know?
Yep.
It was like a fucking moment from The Natural where I felt like if I would have hit a baseball, the whole stadium would have just exploded. The lights would have, you haven't seen The Natural?
Easy now. You're going to give me chills.
Yeah. But, anyway. What do you, oh, and then supporting the players, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you've mentioned this so many times. We were on that panel, PAX together. You were saying supporting the players as well. At IPL, talking about supporting the players. We've mentioned it here on Inside the Game. And, you know, like the time I see the most support is at events. Like, it's awesome to see.
Yes.
You know, the players just really get that fan interaction. The fans just be so appreciative. I think it just, it's amazing. It's beyond
it
that,
is.
You know?
And this is one of the, I mean, this is the place where if you really feel like there's nothing you could do, this is the place where you have no excuse, really. I mean, it's as simple as watching their stream, following them on Twitter, doing the social media thing we talked about. But if you don't want to do that, you know, this is where the talents come in as well. One of the ways that a guy got a job on EG, I think I mentioned it here, was he contacted me and said, hey, your YouTube channel is kind of plain. Do you mind if I rework it? And he did. Contacted Anna, did the same thing for her. And before you know it, we were forwarding his stuff to EG. And EG's like, well, we could hire you. And now he works for EG. And there's a lot of stories like that. There's actually a lot of people that got into their little niches, their little jobs, by doing that kind of stuff. And that's the nice story. Maybe it doesn't get there, or maybe you're just helping a player out. Like, let's say an up-and-comer, like, you know, some of the people from Infinity 7. They don't have all the resources to make their streams look really, really nice. If you've got the time and the desire, and let's say Crazy Movin' or Time is one of your favorite players, go offer to do that for them. It makes a world of a difference for them. It improves their quality of life, but you're giving back to that community, and you're helping that player carry that torch onward and upward. You know, like the players, they're the ones that are the ones that are going to attract a lot of the people, but we as the community can arm those players to do their job at attracting people better. And if we can do that on a more regular basis, then we just have more shots with more players doing better work to get those outlying people.
Admittedly, and you know, I worked a 9-to-5 job, right? I work at Twitch now.
Yep.
One of the most satisfying things, personally, is just hopping into player streams and then just promoting them. You know, like trying to get more people to watch. And admittedly, it's pretty awesome that I can watch some streams while I'm doing work. You know,
pretty
I think
sick.
That's great.
Yes.
But guys, I mean, it goes a long way when you tweet something, or even when I see on StarCraft, like I appreciate, or on our StarCraft, like when guys will be like, "Hey, so and so is streaming," and they've never streamed it before. Like, guys, do that more, because how else are people going to find out? So, you know, all these little things I think add up to, you know, ultimately, a proper movement in the right direction.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what do you feel about, you know, because I feel like we could probably, you know, go more in. And honestly, you should all just read the blog. And as Jeff said, I think you're going to continue to answer questions and share your thoughts throughout the blog's life, I guess you could say, and hopefully beyond that. And let's do something which we don't get too often of a chance to do, and let's focus specifically on this for tonight. And yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
Sound good? All right. So when we return, I guess I never even changed it there, a decent proposal call to action. We'll be taking your phones and your Skypes. So guys, stick around. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. right, guys, welcome back to more Inside the Game. I want to take the very, very prompt action so that we can, you know, make something really clear. I had every intention to absolutely encourage everyone to watch DreamHack this weekend. But to the one or five guys that are saying we hate DreamHack because we have not even discussed it yet, we actually had discussed that we would be talking about it next week for the results as well. So hopefully that will alleviate your concerns that for some reason we might be against, because, you know, it makes perfect sense to talk about how we as a community need to band together and promote one another and then shut out a competition completely. Not to mentioning the fact that we should watch Quake DreamHack as well. But yes, there's a little StarCraft II tournament at it, and many of your favorite players are going to be playing at it. Yeah. And you should be watching. I know that it is kind of off time zones for a lot of people, but they've done rebroadcasts before, and VODs will be available. So yes, I encourage each and every one of you to be watching DreamHack this weekend. I am very excited about the competition, and I can't wait to talk about, you know, the results next week and what we see out of it. And I think it'll be great. I know you guys will probably be talking about a little bit on State of the Game as well. Yeah, hopefully everyone will tune in this weekend. And the other question people were having is, how the hell do I call in? Well, there you go right there. You can Skype us at DJ Wheat or telephone 909-581-8519. We would appreciate discussions about the blog, but, you know, we won't stop you from talking about anything, but we reserve the right to say no. Is that good? Does that work?
Seems fair.
Let's take our first caller. We got area code 571 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to chat about some of the things that In Control was mentioning.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm an entertainment producer by trade. I've worked for Oprah I worked for a circus. I've worked for, you know, major movies and all the way down. And, a couple of the points that I would really like to make is, so we as an esports community are, a community. We're not quite yet an industry as a community, if that makes sense. So as a industry, we need talent, which we have. We need, media, which we have, and I consider shoutcasters and stuff like that to be media. And then from there, we have service providers, so, and that's where your stats and all those things start to come in. And then on top of all of that, we have merchandising. So with those four things, we can create, out of a community, we can create an industry, if that makes sense.
I mean, that makes sense to me. So in your experience, then what is the disconnect? Because the industry's there, right? We can all agree that
sure. It
exists now. So in your opinion and in your experience, like, what do you feel is the next step? Is it natural growth that is happening?
So it is. And so one of the things that you were mentioning earlier were specifically in the services. So we're comparing what is currently a community, and even though we can reach that community back, you know, 10, 12 years, specifically your history goes way, way back. So you've seen where we've come from from the underground into a legitimate community, and now we're starting to branch into what we're considering an industry. Twitch TV is a perfect example of this, and they're now a service provider within this industry.
Right.
So what we're missing from the media perspective and the things that you're talking about, these stats, so I, you know, again, working in television, I had instant access to all of that with LexisNexis, with, all the other, I'm forgetting the thing, Getty Images, Getty Media, all of those things, those are all at my fingertips as an editor, as a producer. So we can't jump the gun too much, but I think your point is bang on, that if we can get out of the startup community, if we can get the programmers, if we can get somebody to pull the stats together, and we have that with SC2 stats, that kind of thing. But I think the most important thing is the people that are on top, and this goes directly to your point, the people that are on top right now, people like you, people like Twitch, people like even Liquid, if they see an up-and-comer, not a player or a caster, but somebody up-and-coming within the industry, it is really important that they receive that help up. And again, so long as the circle comes back, so without, you know, an industry isn't an industry unless it's a circle. So if I make money, you have to make money, everybody has to make money, because that then becomes a self-reliant thing. Without funds in the game, then we're dealing with a hobby. We're not dealing with an industry. And the difference between a community and a hobby in an industry is pretty significant.
What do you think about that, In Control, based off of what you had said? I mean, it gels a lot with what you said from almost a real-world example. Well, it is a real-world example, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can see where he's going with it. It's applicable and stuff like that. To be honest, I'm not too concerned. I don't think we need, like, an industrial revolution throughout StarCraft II for it to be taken to that next stage. I think it'll happen pretty naturally. Agreed. And I'm already seeing that growth happening naturally. There's people moving into StarCraft II not because it's their hobby or they like it, but because it's a market. That's a term we're starting to see more now, right? Like, people are purchasing within StarCraft II at levels that is condoning new business. And businesses that were once on a smaller scale are now making StarCraft II their flagship priority. So we're seeing that focus. We're seeing that self-awareness within the market/community. So I'm not too concerned with having the four components you previously mentioned, like, being gelled and melded together from some kind of conglomerate force. I'm more looking to see what we can do as individuals to accelerate that state where we'll get there. Because I already see it naturally occurring, and I just think that if we self-empower ourselves and it like happens organically, that's the best scenario, as opposed to, like, I pay a Russian investment firm to come in and buy up four of the biggest components and then, you know, make something happen. I don't think that'll be the way to go.
I very much agree, and I think that if we can treat this like we created any startup community, it fills a need. I have a need, you have a need, I'm an entrepreneur, and I am. I just launched a company within the esports community 3 weeks ago. I won't prop it here, though. So we all have needs, and so if we can get the fans to do the stat, website, if we can get a fan, exactly what you're saying, to do the instant access to the media, and that's something, you know, the clips and all of the B-roll. And I can't tell you how bang on, how absolutely perfect the comment was about create personal stories. So that is the absolute key. Currently in shoutcasting, we have two things. And if we can add a third thing, so right now we have shoutcasters, what's happening in the game, you know, so-and-so is coming up the, you know, gate. And then we've got the strategists, people that are analyzing the game, and that's been covered. But what we don't currently have is the color commentator. So someone who really has the backstory, who can really add that piece of color, not the analytics, not the data, not what's happening, but the color, which then gives me, and this is what Weed's point was, did the fighter, you know, what is the fighter game winning? And that can actually be accomplished with some of the casters that are currently working, because they know those personal stories. And then people like the CSN Network, you know, they do awesome interviews, that kind of thing. So from that perspective, I think that we're covered. I think where we need to go to be self-sufficient, and I'm one of those people who strongly believe that we shouldn't be in television. That's a whole different rant.
I'm with you on that, a guy
who worked in television.
I also have experience in television, and I would like to second that. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I still don't feel like it has a place. I feel like if someone wanted to make a highlight show, like to try to get people into it, then that would be awesome. But I still am very much I have kind of an issue with it. So I just don't want
kind of
them
like
to
what Chobo is doing currently with NLG Live. You know, that highlight, that 20-minute in-and-out kind of thing. That would be, if I was to do something, it would be something like that. But.
Right.
Well, I hope you take your talents and your knowledge. You're obviously a very informed guy, and you do something with
it. Yeah, are you? But you're working in the industry, right? So
I have an esports-related merchandising company currently live.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, is doing
can I say it?
Sure. Absolutely.
iHeartEsports.com.
Okay. You guys had the stickers, right?
We had the stickers.
And we don't disagree. I mean, I think you're right. A color commentator that does the behind-the-scenes, you know, connection with the players. But we already have that to a certain extent. My point, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, is that we need someone to get behind that kind of guy for an MLG, for an IPL, for an NASL, that kind of stuff. And it's not enough that they just do a Skype interview with the guy for 10 minutes about, you know, did you play soccer when you were 12 years old? But rather a full-on, you know, like when I do a behind the lines or inside the lines or whatever from ESPN or some of these shows where they take a player and they talk about their life and what it took to get them there, connect them to the people that don't know. If there's production behind that that a casual person can respect and not feel like they're watching a high school production, then I think we're going to get those people that previously we never would have. We just simply won't. We will get the DJ Waits mom, and that'll be good.
Right. Right.
I could not agree with that more. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you coming on, and, you know, maybe I'll get some stickers the next time I see you.
I'll get you some. I'll send some to Twitch, which I already have.
All right,
guys. Thanks for chatting.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Some good points in there. And I think the TV discussion, I know you mentioned the TV thing, but I think it is
kind of... I respect the opinion otherwise. And you guys might know better than me.
It's just kind of... I mean, again, I don't really want to go into it too much, but it really kind of boils down to the whole concept of just, you know, you would never want to see it bastardized. And, like, that could very well just happen. Like, I mean, seriously, could you imagine just, like, a timeout in the middle of a massive micro battle? It's, you know, those types of time constraints exist, and it's crazy. So, anyway, we got Joe on the line. Joe, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? Word, Joe. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Almost.
This guy hung up right as I... So now I'm calling him. Tim, hello. What's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm from Sweden, and my question is to In Control.
Okay.
Okay.
I never thought I would get through. This is so cool.
Well, technically, we got through to you. So.
Yeah, actually, I called you back. You did get through.
Yeah,
I called you back. You can keep trying, though. What's up?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I don't think I hear In Control.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
You don't hear him right
now? Oh, yes, now.
Okay.
Yeah, though. I am a high diamond player, and I play, you know, against high diamonds and masters and shit. I actually got demoted on my birthday from masters, so that's not. But my biggest problem is against a Protoss.
Okay.
And what, you know, are you afraid of when you play against a Zerg? What do you don't want him to do?
Aggression. A lot of times where Zerg players have come from beta to now is playing passive. They were coined as the reactive race. Those days are gone. Just work on being aggressive. That doesn't necessarily mean doing all-ins or timings all the time, but just, you know, influence the Protoss with your +1 melee Zerglings. Take a faster third than you feel comfortable doing, and then analyze the data that's produced from that. So if he scouts it, and then you get Void Raid and Six Gated, and you die to that, go back and watch the replay and find out what you could do differently to adjust to that. But work on being less conservative and more aggressive. So if you find yourself at the end of the game with 5 Broodlords and 28 Roaches, consider throwing out the Roaches, getting Infestors, 10 Broodlords, and now winning more games, and you'll feel better about it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right,
yeah,
thank you for calling in, man.
Real awesome to be on.
Thank you, Tim. Have a good one. All right, we'll take another one here. And let's take this. We got area code 647. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, man. First of all, awesome. Love the show. You guys are wicked sick.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to kind of bring it back to your point about StarCraft on TV. Why do you think that it wouldn't work on TV? You said it might be bastardized. Can you maybe go into that a bit more?
I mean, the best way for me to the best way for me to really explain it would be to go back in history to the CGS, where they wanted to put Counter-Strike on display as one of the games. And they couldn't realistically keep the traditional esports model that had existed for years. That basically meant max rounds 15s, and the first team to 16 was the winner of the you know, the winner of the match. So you'd start out, you'd play 15 rounds on one side, and then you'd switch over. And it all became really a performance of how you did on the terrorist side and on the counter-terrorist side. But because they could not realistically put this into a television format that would work on conventional television, they decided the only way they could do it was to play shorter rounds and make it max rounds 10. So you basically played 10 per side, and the first one to 11 was the winner. But because they did that, they completely fucked up the economics of the game. So I would give you the same thing. What if they said, well, then we have to make sure this game ends in under 10 minutes. So we're going to start both players with 1,000 minerals. Well, that would kind of completely fuck up the whole game. You would completely ruin the early game and the sacrifices someone makes if they decide to go for something cheesy or an early gate or an early racks or something like that. That's the kind of bastardization I'm talking about, is that in order for games to exist within a conventional format of television, you could not show them in their entirety. I mean, let me to explain to you how important this is. When the satellite goes off, guys, the satellite fucking goes off, man. So when it's like going to a commercial break, they would be like, going to commercial break in 10, 9. If I wasn't done with my sentence, no one would ever fucking hear it. So you are kind of like, and then we'll be back with 3D after this. Like, and so what happens? Do they pause the game in the middle of a giant battle in order for these are the problems with conventional television.
On the flip side of that, though, like, I don't disagree with anything you said. That model, realistically, like having a tournament streamed live through the TV or aired, I guess would be the appropriate term, is not possible. I agree with you. But they could do like the Korea thing where it's this league will be on this channel and it's just literally instead of streaming, it's on TV now. It's a different medium. Or, I mean, I don't want to downplay that. No, because that's actually really cool. If I knew that if I went over there and turned on channel 64 and MLG Providence is playing, maybe I go fucking watch it because I didn't get to catch it because I was at the tournament or, you know, my kids were there or whatever. I just want to watch StarCraft on TV. They could go do that. And it just catches those people, or someone's flipping through and they're like, oh, StarCraft, that's what my son plays. And here's an article about White Raw. Wow, he's really handsome, and I didn't know he grew up in a, you know, like, oh, shit, he had a really tough life. You know, like there's the opportunity for that stuff to connect with people. Or they could do the model, and this is where people are going to just disagree with me, and I understand that because I'm spitballing here. Or they could do the ESPN model where it's like there's one main game that's being played, and they'll have to chop it up. Like, here's the opening game, and it'll have to be day 9 going, well, he opened up 2 racks, and this is where it went. It would be a bastardization. It would be different, right. But it would still be on TV.
Right.
But the counter argument to that is, first of all, you already have channels in Korea that are airing StarCraft. And, albeit it is StarCraft Brood War, but...
Well, hold on. That's not comparing apples to apples, dude. Because Korean television and the way that they choose to do commercial formatting is much different than our formatting over here, man.
Okay, fair enough. But what would you say to maybe something along the lines of like a pay-per-view kind of thing?
Well, I think that a pay-per-view is probably the only way that it would be successful. Or only really work. Like a UFC style where they're like, okay, this is how much time we have. We can do this many games, you know. There's still some constraints because UFC's paying for every minute that satellite is broadcasting a pay-per-view. That's why if the show gets over in 2 hours and 30 minutes, they show preliminary matches. You know, so like scheduling would have to be considered greatly. So, I mean, you are right. That is definitely a possibility. Unfortunately, you have to give people a reason to buy a pay-per-view. So it's a chicken or the egg thing, right? Unfortunately, that's why we have streaming, and that's why streaming is so big for us, because there might be an industry of people who would watch a pay-per-view are like the same kind of people that might watch it on their computer. Like maybe it's more convenient for them if they order pay-per-view rather than sitting at their computer all day. So I agree that that's a possibility. I don't know that we have any current production which could facilitate a good enough pull for a pay-per-view. Is the God honest
maybe
truth.
Someday. Maybe someday. So go ahead and
I also
tell your...
had a second point if I can.
Sure,
or
go
rather,
ahead.
Not really a point, but a question, mostly for In Control. You mentioned in your blog moderation being a really good thing, and I agree to some extent, but for example, if you talk about a player like Idris, there's always going to be some level of controversy, and I really don't think that the level of moderation that you're talking about is a good thing for the community. I mean, there should always be open discussion, and when a player is disliked by someone, I don't think that that should be like, oh my god, ban him, delete all his posts. Like, it seems like you completely want to block out the fact that, hey, sometimes people don't like players. And
Well, this would be a pretty classic example of, like, trying to find the wrong in what I was saying. Like, I'm not saying if someone says, hey, statistically, InControl's been doing really poorly at MLG, you know, I don't think he deserves a spot in the pool play, I don't think that should be deleted and removed. Absolutely not. That's a fair statement. That's an opinion. That's fine. But if someone posts a picture of Sheth saying he's really fat and I hate him and he should die, why the hell would you not delete that? Like, what good does that
for sure
exist? So, no, don't any means think I'm saying criticism against Idra leaving early or Idra was a jerk to such and such player and that should be deleted and removed. That's not the moderation I'm talking about. I'm talking about really spiteful, mean stuff that does pop up and down on the forums that doesn't belong there. If we as a community want to grow and further ourselves, why would we ever tolerate people being really fucking spiteful and mean? It just shouldn't happen.
Absolutely. I guess I misunderstood what you were saying. Or not misunderstood, but I thought you were taking it further than you were. But anyway, thanks for having me on the show, guys.
No problem.
Take my leave.
Thank you, sir.
Alternative Star Craft communities, and have an awesome
evening. Awesome.
Take care, man. I mean, if every time someone said something dumb, it got removed, half my sentences wouldn't make sense.
It's true.
Like, I have this really strong, and then I feel like it should. Like it looked like.
And that's how the cookie crumbles. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to take some more calls. I mean, some great stuff so far. Appreciate everyone calling in. Going to take this next one. We've got Nyx on the line. Nyx, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, so I have a question about television, and I'm European, so when you guys talk mostly about ESPN, for me as European, I do not have access to that kind of channel. So for me, it kind of breaks down viewers in StarCraft. Right now, StarCraft can reach everywhere. It's global. You can see it from Antarctica if you have an internet connection. But
thank you.
For that kind of channel, you lose that.
This is like the winningest argument ever. Because, you know, I mean, like, we take for granted, right? We say ESPN, 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 and it's like, what, Sky One and BBC? And, is Sky One really your sports? In Europe, Nyx?
You lose me.
Sky One, isn't Sky the Sky Sports? I don't know.
We have Eurosport and
yes.
Sport TV and some kind of those channels, but they are really sport, like soccer. Basket and that kind of thing. They don't even show poker, for instance, in most of them. So for me, that's a big deal. I want to be able to see all the games. And like someone else mentioned before, if it is a highlight show, that's okay. I don't mind losing that because if I see the game, I don't need to see the highlights because I already saw what happened. But if it is full games or a full league, then I'm going to miss out. And like me, a lot of other players will go. Imagine if GSL was only on TV in Korea. No streams, no nothing like that. How much you will be losing for it, you know?
Yeah, so, there's a lot. And you're talking about a major audience.
Exactly.
And that's really important.
US has a huge market and a lot of viewers. But so does Europe. So does the other countries out there.
Agreed.
So,
well, I'll skip the part where I normally just massacre a cliche in trying to start off my point, but I'll say I would like for us to get to a place where we're having the discussion where because it's now on ESPN, we have to find ways to get it to our European fans. But I still think that if we put this in new media, new places, and again, ESPN is just like, it's just a term that's thrown around. I'm not actually targeting ESPN. If it was ESPN, fantastic, but I'm just saying if it was a TV production or a major media conglomerate, MTV, ESPN, whatever, if they were getting involved, I would rather us being like, okay, cool, they did a highlight show on ESPN. Let's find out how we get that global now. Because right now, we're not on ESPN. Europeans, Americans, South Americans, Africans, we can all watch everything. Great. But if we put it in a new place, first you're assuming that it's like content excluded only to that place. Like if it's aired on ESPN, it'll be shown nowhere else. I have a hard time to believe that that would be the case in this day and age with the internet the way it is. But secondly, I would like to put it at that place and then work on, like, do you think we'd have, like, if you go to an ESPN and be like, hey, you have 7 million people that want to watch this in Europe, and they're like, fuck them. We're American. You understand me? Like, this is America. It's our StarCraft II that we're showing right now. Like, I'm sure they'll find a way. They'll stream it on their website or something like that. So I don't want us to worry too much about that before we get to this awesome thing, you know? I want to see Day 9 sitting behind a glass table next to fucking Michael Vick, and they're like, you know, Vick's blathering about the football game, and they're like, he's like, what you know about shit? And Sean's like, well, I'm here to talk about StarCraft 2, and like, StarCraft 2 land, whoa! You know, like, he does that shit. I'd love to see that. I want to see that first.
So, another question is, if it's going, for instance, on ESPN or someone else, but it's also going to be streaming by internet to everywhere else, why do we need it to be on TV? Maybe I didn't thought about it, but if it's going to be in the internet, well, and for everyone to see, why is it so important to be on TV?
To be fair, I will answer it, but to be fair, I mean, I think that we are actually moving away from television a lot as a culture. And so, you know, that giant gap is starting to spread, but people still have VCRs, right? People still have DVDs. That's why DVDs even though Blu-rays are like infinitely better. So there's always going to be an audience to capture through one of the most largest, you know, media outlets, and that is television. I mean, in the generation in 15 years, probably isn't even going to know conventional cable television. It will probably all be streaming in some way, shape, or form. And so it may not even matter in that time. But in the now, because we're going through a stage of growth where right now the most exposure that we can get is the best thing that we can get right now. Like all these articles that you're seeing on all these websites and all the reasons why we encourage to go and view the article and comment on them so that people see, wow, there's a real interest here, is because that exposure can help us out. So, you know, while I certainly agree that it can shut down that outlet to like beyond the US, I don't agree that it should be on television anyway. I will not disagree, however, that it would not be beneficial. Because even if it was butchered in some way, shape, or form, it would still be getting its eyeballs, you know, or more people would be eyeballing it. So it's kind of a, you know, give and take a little bit.
And I appreciate your call, but like the sentiment I would want to challenge you to try to take on is not to hear us talk about these things, because you use the word need, and I want to focus on that for a second. We don't need it. We absolutely do not need TV. We don't. We're doing great. We're doing wonderful. If today existed without my blog and stuff, we'd be fine. We're going in a great direction. I'm simply asking for more. And I think if we go to a different media, which as of yet has not been done. I mean, DJ Wheat talks about CGS. That was a long time ago. Maybe newer, smarter, better people are in place where we can do something. And I'll tell you what. Maybe it's not a StarCraft game, but you give me a 30-minute interview / behind-the-scenes documentary into the look of a Huck, Day 9, White Raw. Like, I've got a list of 20 people. If you put that on an ESPN, on a MTV, and you connect StarCraft 2 to it, like it's StarCraft 2, but it's about the player, and you inform them about the game, the player, it's this really well-produced thing, you are going to get droves of new people. You're going to have infinite possibility. And I don't want to hear people say, like, well, if we go there, what are the Icelandic people going to do about watching it? Or, you know, is TV going to fuck it all up? Like, that's Maybe it is, maybe it won't, but I'm challenging us to look at that and say, yes, we can, as opposed to, I don't know. You know, let's just fucking do it.
Yeah.
All right. And hope for the best.
Next, yes. I don't think it'll be anytime soon, so don't worry, you won't be missing
And thank you so much for having
welcome.
Me. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
Bye-bye. Good to see that we have some diversity amongst our callers here.
Yeah.
Appreciate everyone's call. We've got a bonus for you guys. We're going to go ahead and go until 9 p.m. EST so we can get some more of you guys' phone calls in. Take this one. I'm sorry that we can't answer all of your guys' phone calls. Of course, we would love to, but so many coming in. We got Christopher on the line next. Christopher, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey guys, I'm actually a Scottish viewer, so that's just another one out to your audience. I read In Control's blog, and I loved, by the way, I agreed with everything it said. And my question actually comes from a discussion I had with a mate. We were both watching MLG Providence, and I preferred to watch combos like Bitter and Husky commentate, whereas he preferred Tastosis. And I just wanted to know, what do you guys think about the different ways that, you know, like commentators approach this? You know, I mean,
well,
should there be a generic commentating style?
Hold on, let me ask you a key question to this. Did either of you turn off the stream when the other pair was casting?
Oh, no, not at all. But I mean, as
so
a
there
player,
you go. We like this, like, choice. Isn't that what we all want in life anyway? Like, I mean, unless it was so horribly bad that you would turn it off, then, you know, isn't that great that we have more diversity and not, like, you know, a bunch of just stale, non-personality-driven casters? Like, I think the casting dynamic and the personalities that are in casting are fucking awesome. And I love the fact that no matter who I'm casting with, it's going to be a different ride every time.
I mean, I agree completely. But, I mean, as far as attracting new people, I mean, I, as a Masters level player, I love listening to more analytical commentators. You know, I think Mr. Bitter does a great job of analyzing the game in comparison to some other commentators. And while I enjoy listening to all of them,
of course,
you know, maybe a Bronze League player or Bronze to Gold, or maybe even someone who's never watched it before. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Is a parent going to understand the intricacies of a six-gate timing and all the little adjustments? Or, I mean, not really. You know, so, I mean, when Husky got started on his channel, it was more a high-octane sort of style of casting.
Right.
You know, that was what got a lot of people into him. And while I would say that he's gotten better into the more analytical side just from experience, I guess, I mean, you know, should more companies, IPL, MLG, should they be putting more effort into having this diversity of casters, you know, into them, so that there's, okay, well, this is what the, this is might be what the Bronze to Gold League players might enjoy watching, you know, maybe, like, they enjoy Tastosis and their humor, or maybe there's, you know, they want to watch other people like Day 9, or, you know, just who they like in general. Should people at IPL have maybe, like, two or three streams running, like, I know MLG did a great job of that at Providence, but I mean, should IPL be then saying, okay, three pairs all casting the same game?
I mean, no, I don't think they need that. And here's why. I don't see that in traditional sports at all. I see that they found a healthy balance, and I think that forever we're going to be looking for that healthy balance. I mean, you're absolutely right. Obviously, you put two casters together that sort of have similar to styles, and you might not get a cast that is enjoyable to those folks. And I think that the healthy balance is to find that cast that you are satisfied with, but also would be incredibly satisfying to that new individual.
Right.
I
think where we'll go to eventually, like, because the point you bring up has been asked a lot of times, and just flat out no. The cream will rise to the top. Is that how you say that? What is wrong with me? I murder these cliches. But the point I'm trying to make, the best casters will get the most important jobs, and they're not going to necessarily have the job of making it so informational that a grandmaster wants to watch, but also so entertaining and generic that a newbie or a mom is going to watch. What's going to have to happen eventually is you have those guys who find a healthy medium, but then also they cut to Day 9 on the field breaking down this play in his fun, more energetic kind of way, or they go to a female correspondent, you know, who's actually next to one of the coaches or something like that. You know, they have to use different stuff to bring it in. And right now, certain leagues are doing a little bit of that. Slash are doing interviews for MLG. IPL had four squads of people roving around creating content, and a lot of them were female correspondents, which a lot of people, you know, it just adds a different element to it. So I don't think we're going to have to curtail our casters specifically to the task of grabbing the Grandmaster, the Diamond player, and also the moms and dads, but rather a healthy production that is attractive to the most amount of people that will bring them in. That's where it's going to go.
Okay. And, I mean, one case of a caster style that actually just really put me off, it was actually, I think it was the IPL, and it was HD really going to the rock bottom, like, noob style, like, oh, and he's made 10 Broodlords, this is the ultimate siege unit, the highest tech unit for Zerg, and I'm thinking, I don't want to hear about that in a game, that stuff that I already know, yet I've got to understand that a lot of people maybe don't know that if they just don't play the game enough, but, I mean, to me, that actually had an effect. Like, I love HDs and pain users' like style of casting in general, but that just really put me off. You know,
live and let live, brother. You're in that 1%. You know,
probably
you're not a part of the majority of people. The majority of people do need to hear stuff like that. And the fact that you've taken this game so serious that you have knowledge that is so, you know, that's so basic to you. You just have to understand, like, if I wandered into, I mean, here's the example, and I hope you don't take offense to this. You're basically sitting in, like, a second grade classroom, and they're like, now, kids, what's 4 plus 4? And you're in the back going, oi, I learned this in fourth grade, and I've mastered the art of math. This is ridiculous. And the teacher's just like, now, Jorgen, please, let's calm down. You know, like, it's not going to necessarily go to you, but have the ability to recognize that you're special.
Boom. Yeah. Okay, and, well, thank you for answering the question, and I love everything you guys do. I mean, In Control, I've already told you this. I messaged you a couple of times on Skype, and, you coach me for a little bit as well, and DJ Wheat, you know, amazing caster, tune into every show, and thanks for having me on, and keep up the good work, guys.
I
hope that this sort of dream of stadiums, etc., and in 4 years when I leave university and I want to go take a year out and see all the MLGs, I hope it isn't a stadium, you know? It'd be fantastic. So, yeah, that's what I've got to say, and keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you very much, sir. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Some good thoughts, though, you know, and I mean, it's something to think about. I can tell you this, Jeff. I know that last Sunday, before Sunday, whatever, fuck, I don't know, 2 Sundays ago, goddammit. Goddamn, when we were doing Quake, there were a lot of guys that were asking questions. So occasionally, I would throw out a, you know, this armor's worth this much, this item spawns, this amount of time, or something that, yes, everyone that's played the game probably already knows. But in that case, they were asking for it too, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of like over education that you can do, but you know what I see happen a lot, just to his point, is I see a lot of like friends explaining shit, you know? So you could still get basic without saying, you know, super minute stuff that maybe doesn't matter unless you really have never played the game. But that's why it becomes then a social experience. Because then you're like, hey, man, yeah, like what he's doing, like those things cost 150 minerals a piece. So that's why you can only put down so many and then make these. Yeah, and then suddenly, you know, like that happens, right? I mean, you get where I'm going with that. So I think it's really interesting, though. I'm glad to hear that people at least think about that, you know?
Yes.
And someone actually in chat gave me their area code and was like, please call this number. But literally, there are so many people calling In Control that I cannot even see his number. How interesting is that?
And then a lot to talk about.
And then, I don't know if you guys know this, but Skype has been around for this long, but it still has this bug right here. I full screen Skype, but it actually acts like I have my taskbar on the other side of the screen. I've emailed them about it 7 times. Never gotten a response from them. Thanks a lot, guys. So I'm sorry that I can't get through to that guy that was trying to call through. So I'm going to just try another one. We're going to take this one right here. We have got Scott on the line. Scott, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Pretty good. I just wanted to talk. I know the TV thing's been beaten to death, but I just have a couple points on the callers prior. The caller from, I think she was Europe, I don't remember which country, but she was stating that she doesn't get ESPN and she wouldn't be able to watch and all that. I think that's kind of being a little doom and gloom. I don't really think that, even if it's on ESPN, that they're not going to stream it on the internet per se. I just think, I mean, I don't really think that MLG or ESPN would say, okay, like, we're going to broker the rights solely to ESPN and no one in the world can watch it anywhere. So I kind of think, like, that's, while it's going to be on TV, it's not really going to be a, you know, 8-hour marathon on ESPN2 on a Sunday. That's just not going to work out with right. NFL and all that stuff. So I want to get your thoughts on whether or not you think that if they took, like, an hour and a half or a 2-hour time slot on like a Sunday, like between 7 and 8, and only cast like the 2 semifinals and the finals, if that would work out where, I mean, cause they have soccer on there a lot where it's a 45 minute half. They don't go to commercials for that 45 minutes, but
right. Again,
it still works out.
Again, I have to reiterate, it's like, it's really easy to make these kind of points. I've heard the soccer point brought up so many times. The reason why they do that is because soccer has, like, built-in traditional advertising that advertisers are okay with. Like, you've seen the field. You see the constantly rotating marquees that are rotating throughout the thing. There's a fuckload of sponsors buying into a fuckload of, you know, different things, and that's how that's happening. That's why they can show that with, like, limited commercial interruption. But the reason it's unique is because it's also... like, soccer can traditionally be, forgive me because I know people are going to get upset when I say it, but it's like a one-angle game, right? Most of it is viewed from that angle. It's like it lets this advertising model work. So while, yes, that does exist, it doesn't mean that we would just be able to find millions of dollars in sponsors to put their names all around, you know, in game in the middle of fucking, you know, Zelnaga Caverns and shit, or so, you know, and whether or not we can even do that. So I just, like, people have to trust that for it to get on TV, corners will have to be cut. And I guarantee you that everyone who is like, we got to do this, we got to do it, you know, we can do it this way or this way, that it is going to, the dog must have done something bad. Oh, and he put the microphone right next to the fan. That was nice. But no, I mean, you know, like, Scott, I don't want people to be disappointed when they ask and ask and ask for this, and then they just butcher the fuck out of it to make it happen.
Right.
That's
my worry.
No, I
hear what you're saying. I think that you just said it right before I called, where it's not, even if TV were to happen, it wouldn't happen for at least till 2013 at the earliest. So I just think that, if it were to go on TV, like an ESPN or a G4 or something like that, it would only be in the Americans and would still be streamed. And I don't think it would even be live. I think it'd be more like a World Series of Poker where, it's like broadcast maybe like a couple days afterwards or like a week
sure.
afterwards and where they've had time to,
That's great. But again, we're never probably going to see a full game when that happens. You know,
yeah.
we're probably just going to see that.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I think that's probably true, which is why I think in the end they're not going to go to the TV route. I think that, I mean, at some point what they'll do is like go to like a highlight package or like a replay where they'll choose like maybe like a couple of shorter games and they'll break it down and things like that where they can fit it into an hour time slot and still have their commercials every 15 minutes and whatnot, which is fine. I mean, it's going to open up a new audience and whatnot like you guys have been talking about. But that's really all I want to talk about, but I appreciate the taking the call, and good work, Jeff, and we all around. So keep it up.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. There you go. Let's see.
I have the extremely important message.
Yes, sir.
On Facebook.
Yes.
From Mr. Matthew Manning.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
I was trying to get him to, he was trying to call in, I think.
No luck? Or did we get him?
No, I have not gotten him yet.
All right, so he says, I agree that it's priority one to have people work together, but what about the individual teams? I spoke with Mark Faraz of Quantic. We shared a plane to Atlanta, and we discussed how companies seem a little standoffish to work together because no one wants to tip their hand, like in poker. How important is it for the massive teams like yourselves to be working as one, and why isn't it happening more?
This is rough, man. This is actually like a really good question because I think I know exactly what Matthew's talking about. And
lay it on me.
And what?
Lay it on me.
Yeah,
brother.
I mean, you know, like obviously, right? It's sort of a business, right? But it's a business that we only benefit from if there is something to have a business around. And so it makes it unique in that, you know, like Walmart wants to be the only fucking place that you are going for Walmart type shit. If Target went out of business, I don't think Walmart would be upset, right?
Right.
If a team goes out of business or disbands or a sponsor stops sponsoring teams, that is like a death in the family to us. That is like some major shit going down, and that is not good for the overall growth. So it is a difficult environment in that, you know, we need complexity to be just as successful as EG. But at the end of the day, there's probably a business aspect that says, you know, we as EG have to be more on top of the game than complexity is,
right.
You know? And so there's like that competition there.
I mean, it does happen to a certain extent. Some organizations do work together on things. You know, Team Liquid EG, they do step outside that competition and try to help each other to a certain extent. But, I mean, the gist of the answer to this is that it's we are a community. We're still playing the same game. But it's they can't help each other too much, right? Otherwise, bad shit happens. Am I even being... Oh, yeah, okay. You were actually standing so still that I thought you froze. You just fucking terrified me. I thought I lost wheat there for a second. It's like
I'm here.
Yes. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's
good question, but the hard answer is
it is. I mean, all I can say is that, you know, I do feel that there are certainly some considerations that teams take with one another. But at the same time, like, it's still in a team's best interest. And that's just, like, that's a hard place to be, right? You know, it's just, like, not to mention that a lot of these guys are probably all good friends, you know, or have known each other for a long time or things like that. So it's really hard to say. All right, Eric's been trying to get through all night. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. Eric, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
What's up?
Oh, good. I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about DreamHack because it turns out just actually a couple of hours ago, actually, I got an invite to the main tournament. I didn't expect to be going, but since someone dropped out, so I just wanted some general thoughts on the tournament and like who do you think are favorites and what are you looking forward to?
You know, I would confidently say that the one player that I am really, really interested in watching, this weekend, just quite frankly, because of their performance in a few major competitions is Stefano. I mean, the guy continues to support or continues to, impress. I think that he is kind of this unique story in that he almost seems to, like, not give a fuck. And so it just kind of blows my mind a little bit to go, you know, what if he did and, like, really applied himself? And not to say he's not applying himself because he obviously has to be, but I don't know. There's just something interesting about him as a player.
Yeah, I agree. I still feel like he's kind of unknown because, I mean, he has some really good results. But I still don't quite know, like, how good he really is. It's kind of hard to tell.
I think that a lot of players think the exact same thing, dude. And that's why he's also a tough guy to go up against.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, I think that all the favorites are going to be guys that I'll certainly be watching. You know, the White Raws, the Thor Zanes. I'm definitely going to be watching more Naniwa this weekend. Obviously, Idra out there. We're going to have several Koreans. DRG will be there, a few Slayers, Hero, Liquid. I mean, it's almost like a next tournament because MLG was so great, and we're just going to get this, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, right after it. So, Jeff, I don't know, anyone in particular that you're kind of, like, definitely honing in on?
I mean, obviously, EG guys, they all got pretty good groups. Huck, Idra. Idra does have Kaz in his group, though, which is pretty funny. He doesn't get along with Kaz too well.
Yeah.
Kaz has actually just defeated him in a big match for the Masters Cup. I think it was the Masters Cup. No, actually, it was Gosu Coaching Premier League. Excuse me. So we'll see how that goes. Puma, you know, like you said, Stefano coming off that IL, or not IL, it's just I-44, right? Is it called I?
Yeah.
I-44?
That's for Insomnia, so it's just...
Multiplay I-44.
In a few tournaments, he's won for himself, you know, almost $100,000. Like, he's just on an absolute tear. My big prediction, and I guess it's not as big anymore, but I would say a non-Korean wins this tournament. Genius and a few other Koreans, MC had to drop out, will be there. But I really don't see them overcoming these non-Koreans, and hopefully... I'll be true on that word, but I'm just going to be watching every match. It's absolutely stacked tournament. I can't wait to watch it. And DreamHack always does a fantastic job.
And if you're lucky enough to be going there, of course, you've probably seen the pictures of what could be, as they've really, really done it up this year. It looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty amazing. So, obviously, group play, day one, group play two, and day two. And that also is a format that I'm really down with, because I think that we'll see some good games on day one, but day two will just be littered. And then, of course, the playoffs there at the end. So I'm really excited for it, and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to knock out Tuck because he's in my group.
So. Uh-oh. All right. Well, good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. That's so crazy. He's in Hawk's group. All right.
He is.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, he said he was in Hawk's group. All right. We've got unknown phone number. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
With an unknown voice.
I'm going to take the other unknown phone number here. Hello, we've got unknown phone number on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. That's you on the phone.
Just breathing into it.
Skynet just calling me like, yes, soon we will take over the world.
You'll perish.
All right, well, we're actually at the top of the hour, so we should probably just take this one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Goatlust.
Fucking g'day, how are ya?
I'm really good, how are you, sir?
Oh, yeah, not bad. What about Jeff?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well.
Good to hear.
You're in a bit of a pickle, though. You can't ask Idra a question.
Yeah, well, it's happened before.
I'll get through.
He's been prepared.
Oh, shit. What's up, man?
Yeah, not a lot. That Barcraft thing. How you,
did you go?
It was on the Barcraft map because they'd done one for the Blizzard Southeast Asia Invitational. I think they were all watching that, but yeah, MLG's on at pretty fucked times for Barcraft here. It's like starts at 1 or 2 o'clock and then goes till 1 in the afternoon, so it's sort of like worst times you could get.
I gotcha.
Sort of thing, so.
I gotcha. All right. Well, that's kind of a bummer. I'm glad you at least tried. You at least checked into it, right?
I had to check it out.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Good on you.
Anyhow, sorry about not asking about Jeff's grand scheme of things, I just thought I'd ask about MLG and how the results are sort of looking for like the state of the game right now, because you know last week how I called up about Idra and you know that whole Zerg hero sort of thing. It seems like we've almost moved out of this time and have been slowly over the last month or two moving out of this stage where we've even got, like, a race hero at all. And we've got all these really sporadic results, especially in the last MLG. It seems like some people... It just seems like scissors, paper, rock in some respects. Like, some players are just play styles work against other players. And
scissors, paper,
rock? We ended up with Leanok. And like Naniwa up there.
It's hard to say. Like, does that just reflect the amount of talent that was there? You know, because I think what you say is somewhat right, right? I mean, every player you can say has a different style. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
The whole question was basically for him to say scissors, paper, rock. He's trying to illustrate how in Australia, not only when you flush the toilet does the water go the other direction, but also when you say rock, paper, scissors, comes out the opposite.
Do you guys really say it that way?
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors.
And by you guys, you mean everyone but Australia, yes. The spirit of your question, though, like, do we have these race heroes? I mean, there's always going to be the same guys speckling the highest results. I mean, still it's Huck at number 5. Still it's Idra at number 8. You know, it's the regular people. There's going to be those sporadic performances like a Leanoff. People do not, except for Huani, predict him to win that tournament. Everyone's saying MVP, Nesty. By the way, Artosis was wrong. LOL. A lot of people were wrong, though. I was wrong, too. But StarCraft II is a difficult enough game, and it's still early enough in its progression that you're going to have erratic results from the usual suspects, for the most part. Idra would be quick to remind you of the Zerg players in the non-Korean world that are winning. It's still Stefano, Idra, Rhett, and a few others. Of the Protoss players, it's still White Raw, Naniwa, Huck, and a few others, Kiwikaki kind of. And then the Terran players, same thing. So you're still having the best players win most of the stuff, but you're going to have these erratic results every once in a while because the game is demanding enough and there's enough good players for that to happen.
What do you think about that? What do you think, Gutlust, about what was just said there?
Well, I'm just wondering, that's obviously going to happen. And then how are the new expansions and, you know, the development of the game going to go in the future? Is it going to be a thing which is, it's good to happen once in a while, but what if we had a few tournaments where it's just, you know, random people getting up there in the top, or not so much random people, but not like the same few people?
Very good point. Very good point. And that's actually, of the things that from the beginning of StarCraft II I talked about having a problem, I mean, I was one of the outspoken people about multiple building selection, auto mine, auto cast, all that stuff. Now, in this perspective, I could say, okay, I'm okay with those things. One of the things I did talk about back then that to this day I could say I'm not really happy about is the scheduled additional games, Heart of the Swarm and Something in the Void. I don't like that we have this scheduled, essentially, reset where they're taking units out, they're rebalancing units, and they're introducing new units. So it's going to be like Wings of Liberty all over again, where you're still going to have the regular people, but to your point, the results are going to be messed up for a couple of tournaments or somewhere in there because the game's going to get reset. The balance will have to get adjusted, so we're going to have that ridiculous tournament where roaches are one supply, two armor, you know, or that's just an example.
Or we're 5x Reaper.
Right? We're going to have those kind of scenarios. Okay. And that's just kind of the way it goes, but I'm going to say, and I had said in the beginning, I'll say it now, I'm not for it. I would like it if they were just like, boom, StarCraft 2, bitches! And then everyone's like, ah! And then eventually, unscheduled, they're like, hey, we're thinking about doing an add-on. Everyone's like, ah! But it's not this like, okay, boom, we made it to the 66% mark. You know, we're, yay, we made it. Let's go ahead and get that reset. And then we can look forward to another one that's scheduled where the game keeps getting reset like that. I agree with your sentiments. I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I'm assuming you're saying that you're not going to like that because I don't think I will either.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the only, like, devil's advocate thing I have to say about that is that it almost guarantees life in the game. Like, it almost promises. Like, example, like, you know, how long has Brood War lived since it was released? Right? How many years?
It's like 10.
10?
11.
So, 11. So, if the last StarCraft II expansion is released in 2018... Is it feasible that it would have a life to 2030? It sounds fucking ridiculous because you think about the way the technology advances, but you know, like
you're playing devil's advocate, so I appreciate that, and, right. and I understand your point. And I'm going to be the optimist on this. Hopefully, each and every one of these add-ons, which we're going to have, so you know, you can cry about it all you want, it's going to happen. I hope they do nothing but good for the game. I hope they extend the life 10 years each time. But what I would have preferred them to have done is saying, here is StarCraft II, that's it. And then at this point, you know, in 2011, they go, there may be, you know, Dustin Browder's like, well, we're excited to say that there's a chance we may be working on an add-on. The fucking, you know, like, Art of the Swarm. So, and the internet shudders and people are like, it's so exciting. I would rather have that. Then at the very beginning, they go, StarCraft II in three parts. And it, like, who the fuck, when they announce that, goes, oh my god? Like, I get to be excited three times over again? This is so exciting! Oh my god! Like, nobody did that. They want it all at that time. And they want it one more time, if it's going to happen. And then Dustin Browder can do it again. He could have a full head of hair. Okay, all the plugs in the world put right in there. He's got this beautiful goatee. And after Heart of the Swarm, a year and a half later, he can go, gentlemen, if you thought I was exciting with Heart of the Swarm, wait till you see Into the Void. And everyone's like, what's Into the Void, Browder? And he goes, it's the third part of StarCraft II. Just everything is so good. Shit. That's what I'm saying.
It could happen. Or it could have happened.
It should have happened.
Should have. It should have. Should have, could have, would have. So there you go. I don't know, Goat Lust, man.
Yeah, I think Jeff lost me somewhere in there.
What do you mean?
But,
dude? I got everything he said.
Yeah.
With the Dustin Browder, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I can understand that. I can understand that. And then he's like, here's the new StarCraft expansion, Command and Conquer. It's like, wait a second. God damn it. All right, go, Les.
Transcend
reality.
Thank
you, sir. Watch DreamHack this weekend, okay?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And shout out to Pain User, right? He doesn't get enough love. That's one of the things Jeff's been talking about. I think Pain User is one of those guys out there who people should really... let know that he's fighting the good fight. Catch you later.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye-bye. There you go.
Someone ratted me out to Joe, told him that Red Bull emailed me.
Shame.
Damn you, internet mother.
Oh, the internet mother. She's got eyes in the back of her head, man.
Jeff said earlier.
All right. Well, as much as I feel like I could probably answer questions for another 50 minutes, we're probably going to have to wrangle it in and put the mini wheat down. So that's right.
Thank you for doing this, Wheat, by the way. Everyone, you got to realize Wheat went an extra long time, but also when only two people are doing a show, that's more talking. So Wheat, right off the back of casting all weekend long, was a fucking hero and was like, you know what? We'll do it live.
Fuck so yeah. And, you know, I would just say, like, continue the discussion. Take it on over to, Jeff's blog.
Yeah.
You can find it over on teamliquid.net. Of course, there's a blog over there, so you guys should just be writing in it anyway. And I totally closed it somewhere. Oh, here it is. So, you can look it up. A Decent Proposal over on Team Liquid and join the discussion. I don't know if maybe we got any responses from the show, but I certainly hope that people would, chat about it. We had a lot of callers, so I think there's probably a lot of people that didn't get a chance to tune in. But we wish we could answer every single one of your questions, but we just fucking can't. So I'm sorry. Okay? God damn it. I'm sorry. There's not going to be a live on 3 tomorrow. unfortunately.
Holiday mode.
I'll be traveling. Yes, it's Thanksgiving here in the United States. So good news is that in the upcoming events, of course, we have DreamHack Winter starting in 1 day and 6 hours, people. So make sure that you are watching that. That would be, of course, if you're using Team Liquid, it converts to your time anyway. But that would be in 1 day at about, look at that. It'll be about, 2 a.m. for me. Sweet. 3 a.m. Sweet. It's going to be an awesome
Bam.
Thanksgiving. Yep. My mom's going to be getting up to, like, baste the turkey. I'm going to be already there on the kitchen table. Just going to scare the shit out of her. And I'm going to teach her some StarCraft. So, any final shout-outs, any thoughts, anything you want to throw out there, Mr. In Control? Now is your time.
Just as always, you know, I want to echo Wheat's sentiments. There's a lot of people that have strong opinions about it. Don't be shy. Post in that thread. Tweet at me, all that kind of stuff. I prefer it if you want to talk about the blog that you don't PM me, just because when I'm speaking, I want to speak to everyone so that I don't keep getting asked the same questions and then privately answering them. It's just more time-consuming that way. But big shout-out to everyone who is doing stuff. Shout-out to Reddit. I don't give Reddit enough credit. Oftentimes I talk about that place as kind of a conglomerate of a bunch of people that want to say mean stuff, but actually it's just a lot of people, and sometimes the mean stuff comes out of it. But right now there's people donating their talents and their services to the community and saying they'll do graphics, they will help out with streams, all that good stuff. So if you know, if that's something you can do or want to take advantage of, head over there, because there's some pretty awesome stuff going on over there. And then, you know, just thank you to everyone that heard my message and wants to do something about it, or just the people that read it. You don't have to do something about it, but the fact that you're taking time and thinking about it, that's actually a part of the process too. So I really appreciate everyone for doing that. And then just shout out to everyone I met at MLG Providence and all the MLGs. I have nothing but love for the community. You know, everyone comes up and says the nicest things. They're really considerate. They're polite. They're friendly. They're enthusiastic. They're positive. I love StarCraft 2, and I love its people, and it's just, it's pretty magical to be in the place that I am where I get to see so many of you guys. It's one of my big advantages. I will be streaming in the next few days, and December and now is my break, so it'll be a lot more fun stuff that you'll be seeing, less hardcore practice. I am still practicing, of course, because you couldn't stop me from practicing if you tried. But, you know, shout out to the team, EG, all our wonderful sponsors, Intel, Monster, SteelSeries. I was thinking about making a Red Bull joke there, but I think that Joe would actually just kill me, so I won't do it. Kingston HyperX, Beyond Gaming, all those wonderful people. Some people have asked about our merchandise. We are going to have a bag, hopefully for 2012, from Slappa. And then right now you can go buy some EG swag from splitreason.com, where you can, we saw a lot of jerseys and team shirts at Providence, and that's really cool. So thank you to everyone that's doing that, and I love you all.
I would like to just echo the sentiments of at least thanking the sponsors of Inside the Game, and really this one sponsor for all of these shows on One More Game, and that's SteelSeries. I love the undying support that those guys give from every aspect. So thank you, Sixpool Gaming, as well, for sponsoring Inside the Game. And you know what? Just to go show how far community efforts went and how you can just reach out and make an effort, you see this awesome plushy Baneling that I got right here. This little guy.
Where's the crochet meatless, man? Is there an update on that?
Hey, I'm working on it, man. Man, DJ Wheat's a guy who gets what he wants, dudes, okay? So I saw this motherfucker on Reddit, and I was like, I'm going to own one of those Banelings right there. I'm going to own one. And so I messaged out. I reached out to Rachel on Reddit, and Rachel said, you know, she said, like 2 weeks later, too, I thought I was never going to get it. She said, yeah, I'll make you one. You know, I said, name your price, and I'll just pay you whatever you want me to pay for it. So she...
$1 million.
It wasn't $1 million, but I definitely feel like she got paid for her hard work, and I'm going to get a second one because Mini Wheat wants one. But more importantly, I'm going to get a second one because I was post-tournament with I was with Bomber, Select, and MKP, Foxer, Marine King Prime, and I pulled out...
I saw you guys hanging out. Yeah. I was with Clint Eastwood, Mel Gibson, and Harrison Ford.
And so I pulled out the plushy Baneling, And I, like, you know, make a Baneling explode noise as I hit all three of them. And Marine King, in such an awesome way, goes, "I'm Marine. You need two." But it was, like, in a far more broken English. So I want to thank Rachel for the Baneling plushie. And if you're interested in getting one, let me know on Twitter. She hand makes these, so tough to do, but, you know, they're fucking awesome. Thank you, Rachel.
Pretty awesome.
That being said, thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight for Inside the Game. Good luck this weekend, Idra. Feel better, pain user. And we want everyone to watch DreamHack this weekend. That means you. That means your friends. That means getting your buddies over and having yourself a little DreamHack party, going to your local Barcraft and supporting it that way. Whatever it is, tune in to DreamHack the same way I know all you guys tuned in to MLG. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We'll see you next time on another episode of Inside the Game, bitches. Peace! Oh yeah, I almost forgot. Make sure to go on over and watch State of the Game. Coming on in about 10 minutes over on MLG_live. I'll see you next time, bitches. I'm out of here. Peace.